Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to be brief, definitely not going to quote Ronald Reagan, maybe Gloria Steinem, but not Ronald Reagan on this. this has been a really, really tough decision for me to come to. I think I've talked to a number of you as I've been struggling with this, but I do want to take a minute to explain why I'm opposing this bill. It is because I believe very strongly that this bill discriminates against two-income working families with kids at home. In some of these conversations I've been having with you, some of the questions you've asked me, I'm going to lay out so that you all understand how I came to this conclusion. In Maryland, you cannot file as an individual if you are married. We used to be able to do that. Up until 1992, you could do that. And in the District of Columbia, you can do that. That's one way to avoid marriage penalties. It's a really good policy idea. I think it's something we should consider in the future to allow folks who work to file as an individual taxpayer to avoid marriage penalties. However, I pointed out yesterday, 85% of the folks in the joint brackets that we're taxing are two-income working families. So this really is targeting those. And if you look at the brackets, the max bracket, the 5.75% bracket, it starts at $300,000 for a family with two workers in it, or $250,000 for a single person. So this is a concern. This is a marriage penalty, right? At the 5% bracket, it's also really noticeable. It starts at $150,000 for two people and $100,000 for one person. So there's some logic to changing those brackets to eliminate the marriage penalty. That's also something we could consider. But again, one of the most important things to think about, because the counter argument I often get to that is there are economies of scale. If you have two people living together, you should be able to pay more in taxes because your expenses are less. So it's really important to keep in mind that the vast majority of these two income families who are in these brackets have kids at home. We are not talking about two people. We are more than likely talking about three people or four people. And the little people are the most expensive kind of people you can have living in your home. So it's true. Those of you who have them living in your home, you know how incredibly expensive little people are. So the brackets combined with the fact that we're talking about families, not just dual income, no kids couples, really creates a significant marriage penalty. That being said, we're just talking about marginal rates, so it's really not the end of the world. It's really not the end of the world to have a marriage penalty on your marginal rates, and I could have stomached it, and I'm sure a lot of folks wish I would have. But when you combine that with the personal exemption phase-outs, that becomes really very, very bad for two-income working families with young kids at home. The situation that I believe that we are going to have and why I'm hoping we'll be able to address this next year is that working two-income families with kids at home will be paying higher taxes than two-income families with no kids at home or two-income families with grown kids. They'll be paying higher taxes than single people in the same jobs, and they'll be paying higher taxes than similar families with one breadwinner. Again, this is my concern, and this is all despite the fact that kids are extremely expensive. So I went through the economies of scale argument. I just want to add that there's really no comparison between the living expenses of a single man making $150,000 and a family of four making $150,000. There's no comparison. So we need to acknowledge that as we construct tax policy. One final thing I want to talk about is really the cost of living issue, because most of these high-earning two-income families that are in my district and the neighboring districts, folks who are commuting into D.C., so their salaries are high and their cost of living is really high. I just want to bring it home for you. We're talking about families that make $150,000 a year. That's before all of their taxes. So I've been in that boat, so I'm just going to tell you, I did a little breakdown. So you take out the Social Security deductions for both earners, two earners, so they're paying it on their entire salary, unlike in a single breadwinner family where they're only paying it up to the first $110,000. You take out the federal tax rate, that's an effective rate of about 18%, that's another $30,000. State taxes of about $9,000. So your income's already down to $99,000. So what I paid for daycare, this is my daycare in my district for two kids, an infant and a three-year-old, $41,700. So you got to take that out of the $99,000. So again, we are not talking about people sitting on giant piles of money here. When I did that math, what I found was that this family with a federally adjusted gross income of $150,000 and two adults in the workforce and two small children has left in income, and again, we're not talking about poor folks. I know there are a lot of folks here who represent communities where people are really struggling. I'm not trying to make the argument that these people are impoverished, but I am telling you that they're left with $58,000, not $150,000. And when I looked up what the earned income tax credit level is for the same family of four, it's $49,000. So the policy that we're passing is saying we need to raise the taxes by several hundred dollars on this family making $150,000. But their actual money they have left is very, very close to what we also have determined as a state is the level at which we know families need help and they need some money back on their income taxes. $49,000 to receive the earned income tax credit, what I've computed as $58,000 left after daycare expenses. So it's too close for me to be comfortable with determining that these are the folks that have enough extra to be able to contribute extra. It is completely true in my mind that if you are a single person or if you are a dual income couple with no kids and you have that kind of salary, you can afford that extra $4 a week, that extra $8 a week for one Maryland. These are my values too. I just think that this policy could have effectively addressed these concerns better, and that is why I'm voting no. Thank you.